"Hi," Ed says. "How does this, work exactly?" He tries to imagine what the person on the other side of the phone call looks like. "I offer a variety of non-sexual physical contact therapy sessions. Hugs, snuggles, cuddles, all in a comfortable location of your choosing, charged by the hour. Physical contact is extremely important for optimal mental health."
You all are in for a treat with this week's appetizer. Carly Heath here. But first, how are you doing? We're now 2 weeks into our second cancellation news from David Jenkins. I know. I think I might be in denial, actually. But my rabbit did pull tarot cards this morning, and she got the Ten of Pentacles and the Star card, which to me is like, yes, there's going to be a season three somehow, some way. The money is going to come in. It's not going to happen for a while. It's going to take like a really, really long time. Like Ten of Pentacles might be like 10 months, 10 years, 10 centuries. I don't know. And to me, that's hope. And maybe a movie, a Broadway play, Our Flag novels, audiobooks. I personally am doubling down on this podcast. I'm putting out new content every week because something as good as Our Flag Means Death deserves to stay alive, and fanfiction can do just that. And if you believe in the ability to keep Our Flag Means Death alive, head over to Apple Podcasts and give the Our Flag Means Fanfiction podcast a 5-star rating. It'd be a great way to show the world that Our Flag Means Death has a fandom. It's here to stay, and all content tangentially related to Our Flag Means Death has a demand. For this week's episode, Loopy Danger Frog on AO3, also known as Katie, has granted us permission to share her narration of the thoroughly and entirely improper cuddling of Edward Teach by Queen B42. Oh my God, Katie's narration is so good. The emotion, the feeling, this is why she is one of the best narrators out there. I won't spoil anything about the story, but your socks are about to be officially knocked off. This is top-tier writing that could be in any traditionally published romance novel, and it's paired with absolute world-class narration. Have a listen.
The thoroughly and entirely improper cuddling of Edward Teach by Queen B42. Read by Katie, aka Loopy Danger Frog. Rating, tags, and author note. Rating, explicit. Tags: Our Flag Means Death, A Yugist, 2023. Alternate universe, modern setting. Porn with feelings, kissing, handjobs, anal fingering, anal sex, nightclub, smoking, alcohol, condoms, safe sex, dirty talk, mirror sex. Ed Teach is down bad from the get-go. Steed Bonnet is good at sex. Blackbeard Edward Teach loves Steed Bonnet. Steed Bonnet loves Blackbeard Edward Teach. Smut, gratuitous smut, shameless smut. Look, Ed just needed to get railed, okay? Praise kink, dubious consent. A note from the author. This is a work of fiction and is not intended to represent a realistic interaction between a professional cuddler and client, or to be disrespectful of the profession. Based on some thoughtful feedback I've received, I've updated the tags and added a dubious consent tag because the nature of a cuddler-client relationship would, in real life, compromise the ability of the involved parties to provide consent. I've endeavored to be respectful about how Ed and Steed handle their shift from professional interaction to something else entirely, and wish to acknowledge here that this situation would not be acceptable in real life. If you choose to proceed with the story, I hope you'll enjoy it with these things in mind. And now, the story. The corkboard in the dimly lit hallway outside the bathrooms of the Revenge nightclub is covered with papers of all sizes and colors. Most of them are for upcoming concerts, interspersed with flyers for STD testing and places to get free condoms and business cards for local dispensaries and breweries and adult stores and lewd graffiti scrawled in Sharpie. Edward Teach leans against the wall and sighs. He's not getting any younger, and the alcohol-induced headache is just making him feel fucking old. Once upon a time, he could have drank and danced all night and still been fresh-faced and ready for anything bright and early the next morning, but that was a different Ed. Still drinks too fucking much, though. He wonders if Izzy is ever going to come out of the fucking bathroom. Ever since he shacked up with Jack, Izzy's been acting weird, but it's not Ed's problem what Izzy does with his time. Izzy is a grown-ass adult, after all. Bored, Ed sighs again, and squints at the corkboard, as if maybe there'll be something interesting there for fucking once. Someone stumbles out of the bathroom and Ed turns to check, but it isn't Izzy. He rubs his forehead and turns to the corkboard again, and this time, he notices something he'd missed before, a business card featuring teal and gold tentacles curving around embossed text. It's peeking out from behind a garish advertisement for cock rings available in bulk. It grimaces as he tugs the business card out from behind it. Who needs that many cock rings? No one, that's who. There's something about the card, something calming? Cock rings entirely forgotten. Ed looks it over in wonderment, for he's never before seen anything quite like it. Cuttlefish. Professional cuddle therapy. Lonely? Stressed? Need a hug? Book your session now. Steed Bonnet, CPI, accredited cuddler. Available nights and weekends. Have I got a hug for you? There's a phone number and email address listed below, but Ed ignores them in favor of slipping the card into the inside pocket of his leather jacket. Izzy's still in the bathroom. Fuck it. Ed's getting out of here. Ed lights a cigarette and takes a deep drag, exhaling against the neon lights and brightly lit billboards and still illuminated office skyscrapers. He watches the clouds of smoke drift upwards and wonders if this is really all there is. He fishes the card from his pocket. Available nights and weekends, huh? Exhaling another lungful of smoke, Ed pulls his phone from his pocket and dials the number on the card. He doesn't expect much, maybe to leave a voicemail, so he's surprised when the call connects. Cuttlefish Cuddle Therapy, Steed Bonnet speaking, how can I hug you today? The voice on the line is bright and golden and unreasonably chipper for, Ed checks, 12:57 a.m. Hi, Ed says. How does this, work exactly? He tries to imagine what the person on the other side of the phone call looks like. Light brown hair, maybe, he's a lies, wears wire-rimmed glasses, is a snappy dresser, probably wears suits with eccentric bow ties and spats on his shoes. On the slender side, but not too skinny, else cuddling wouldn't work too well now, would it? A bit shorter than Ed. I offer a variety of non-sexual physical contact therapy sessions. Hugs, snuggles, cuddles, all in a comfortable location of your choosing, charged by the hour. Physical contact is extremely important for optimal mental health, you see, and most adults aren't getting anywhere near enough. I take it you might be one of those adults? Yeah, I suppose I am, Ed replies, fascinated. A hug sure sounds nice. Like, really fucking nice. When can you fit me in? There's a short pause. Ed assumes Steed is looking at his calendar. Well, I've had a cancellation for 4 p.m. today. It is today, since it's after midnight. unless this is an emergency. Are you in need of cuddling sooner? Ed stifles a chuckle at the thought of a cuddling emergency. This guy's a fucking lunatic, and it's wonderful, and... Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, I think it is. Right. Tell me where to meet you? Ed gives him his address and his contact information and is told Steed will be there in 30 minutes. Ed changes into sweatpants and an old worn t-shirt, then sits on the couch of his comfortable and well-furnished, if small, downtown apartment and checks his phone. Still at least 10 minutes before cuddles can happen. He bounces his feet and then stands up to have a stretch and strides impatiently over to the window. This is fucking ridiculous. Really, inviting a stranger to his home on a whim like this? Though, he supposes, it wouldn't be the first time. First time for something other than a one-night stand, perhaps. He should have asked what rate Steed charges. He doesn't care. He's decided he's having a cuddle emergency, whatever that is, and damn it, price is irrelevant in a situation like this. 5 minutes. He fills a glass with water and sips it, and tries not to check his phone every 10 fucking seconds. He checks his phone. He checks it again. 3 minutes, minimum. An eternity later, the buzzer sounds. Ed bounds over to the intercom by his door. It crackles a little with the sound of, "Steed Bonnet here, for Edward Teach?" "Come on up," Ed replies, and buzzes the main door open. A moment passes, then two, and there's a knock on the door. Ed tries to be nonchalant as he opens the door as if he hasn't been standing right here to let Steed in the second he arrives. Steed quietly steps into the apartment. He is simultaneously exactly and nothing like what Ed had imagined. Ed is mesmerized by the man's carefully curled blonde hair, gentle smile, and the warmth in his hazel eyes. He's dressed in jeans and a soft hoodie. He sets down a large tote bag and then kicks off a pair of designer sneakers next to the door. "Don't want to track anything in on your carpets," he announces, then turns to Ed, whose world screeches to a complete halt. "I've been waiting for you," pops unbidden into his head. He isn't sure how he has lived this long without those hazel eyes in his life, or those curls. Good fucking lord. Steed shrugs out of his hoodie, revealing a Fleetwood Mac t-shirt and biceps to die for, and Ed thinks he might actually be dead already because this is entirely too wonderful to be real. "Right, so," Steed begins cheerfully. "Large sofa? Yes, that will do quite nicely. I brought some blankets, but if you have any you prefer, obviously we can use those."
Ed's throat is dry. "Don't have any blankets. Not really."
"That's perfectly fine," Steep chirps as he pulls a thick, fuzzy, purple blanket from the tote. It looks handmade. "Now, sit down and let's get comfortable, shall we?" Ed nods because he isn't entirely sure how words work anymore. He moves to his couch, the one he's had for years, that has been used for watching TV and eating while watching TV and the occasional mediocre blowjob, and more frequently, a mediocre wank, and sits. Steed seats himself next to Ed, mere inches away, and spreads the purple blanket over them both, and then wraps an arm around Ed's shoulder and pulls him close and tells him to relax. Ed shifts even closer to better enjoy the proximity of those marvelous arms, and Steed makes some reassuring noises as he clasps his hands around Ed, and is kind and warm and gentle, and something shifts inside Ed, who turns into the embrace to wrap his arms around Steed and bury his face in Steed's neck. The man smells of lavender and sunshine, and Ed closes his eyes and revels in this unusual feeling of being close to someone who isn't trying to get into his pants. Although, he supposes, he wouldn't really mind if Steed did at some point. Not right now, though, because this is exquisite. This snuggle is, and Steed leans his head against Ed's and holds him tightly, and Ed has never in his entire life felt so safe around another person. The tension drains out of him from his neck and shoulders and back and hips, and whatever this man charges for this, it's not fucking anywhere near enough. He closes his eyes and relaxes in a way he didn't know was possible. The next thing Ed knows, Steed is gently shaking him awake. "Here, Ed, it's time to wake up. At least enough to get you to bed." "Now there's a thought," Ed blinks fuzzily, and sighs as he extricates himself from the cuddle. "Here, let me help you get settled. I can let myself out." "That sounds nice." Ed's asleep again the second his head touches the pillow. Morning doesn't feel so awful today. Ed yawns and stretches and sits up and realizes he's been sleeping under a fuzzy purple blanket. It doesn't belong to him. He smiles as he runs his fingers over it. "Cuttlefish Cuddle Therapy, Steed Bonnet speaking. How can I hug you today?" "Hello, Ed." Steed is every bit as bright and cheery as the night before. Ed wonders if the man ever sleeps.
"Hey, Steed," Ed replies. Listen, you left your blanket."
"Ah, yes, well, cuddle emergencies do require a bit of extra care in their treatment. How are you feeling, by the way?"
"Better. It helped." This is a massive understatement. Ed feels human for the first time in years. maybe ever. Thanks for being willing to come by at such an awful hour.
Steed smiles on the other end of the call. Well, it was my pleasure to be able to help. Now, for such an emergency, I recommend a follow-up session within 48 hours, so I'm glad you've called. Are you available tomorrow at, say, 7 p.m.? It'll be my last slot of the day, so I won't have to rush off to any other clients.
Yeah, Ed agrees. Steed doesn't need to know that Ed would arrange his life around Steed's slightest whim without complaint. 7 p.m. is, great. See you then.
At 7:05 p.m. the following day, Ed curls into Steed's comforting embrace and decides he is going to marry this man. Someday. Definitely. Next Thursday sounds fantastic. Steed shifts position a little and clears his throat. Ed, he whispers tentatively.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be, terribly opposed to me, not charging you for these cuddles?
There's something strange in Steed's voice, and Ed sits up worried. Shit, why, are you okay?
Steed blushes an endearing shade of pink.
Yes, I am, thank you, but,
it seems I have not been able to
keep a professional demeanor around you. Baffled, Ed stares at Steed, who somehow gets even pinker. His eyes dart downward. Ed follows his gaze and, oh. There is a pronounced bulge in Steed's jeans. Ed meets Steed's eyes and grins.
Professional demeanor, huh?
You're a profoundly attractive person, Ed, huffs Steed. But seeing as I've decidedly overstepped the bounds of propriety, would you like for me to leave?
I abso-fucking-lutely would not, seeing as I'm in a similar state myself.
Oh, Steed replies, his voice small.
He looks down, noting for the first time the ample tent in Ed's sweatpants, and then looks back up at Ed.
Well, isn't that something?
Ed gazes fondly at him.
Also, I really would like to kiss you if you're interested. Steed smiles shyly and bites his lower lip.
I am definitely interested.
Good, says Ed. He leans forward and kisses Steed gently, and Steed makes a happy little sound as he kisses Ed back. It's chaste and tentative at first until Steed works a hand into Ed's hair and pulls him closer, opening his mouth into the kiss. Ed follows suit and luxuriates in the softness of those golden curls against his fingers, in the way Steed's tongue seeks out his own, soft and gentle and then more urgent. Suddenly, Steed is straddling him, the bulge in his jeans pressing hotly against the fabric, straining across Ed's now aching erection. Ed is dimly aware of the damp spot in his underwear as he leans up into Steed's kisses and nips at his lower lip in response. Steed grinds their hips together and they both gasp, a shared intake of breath at just how fucking good that feels. Steed presses Ed down until they're lying down on the couch. He nibbles Ed's earlobe. Ed hisses at the jolt that sends down his spine. Steed keeps licking there as he slides a hand up under Ed's t-shirt, seeking out a nipple, and Ed lets out a lewd moan when he finds one. Steed takes that as both permission and encouragement to shove Ed's t-shirt up to his neck and lower his mouth to Ed's chest, and Ed arches up into the sensation of Steed's warm, wet tongue swirling over one taut nipple, and his fingers caressing the other, and the weight of their cocks pressing into each other with entirely too much fabric still between them. He might die. It all feels so fucking incredible, and if he does, it would be Steed's fault entirely. Death by cuddles, as it were, he thinks, and then moans as Steed sucks hard in exactly the right spot. Yeah, Ed's definitely not going to survive this. Relinquishing Ed's conquered nipple, Steed sits up, ignoring Ed's pout at the loss of touch, and pulls his t-shirt off, and Ed forgives him instantly because shirtless Steed is fucking gorgeous, and Ed is going to make a home for himself between those unbelievably perfect tits. Steed grins impishly down at Ed before kissing him again, wet and filthy this time. He drags his hips against Ed's crotch again, the saucy little minx, and then he reaches a hand down to the waistband of Ed's sweatpants and slides a finger just under the elastic. Ed shudders and tries to wiggle out of his pants, but Steed presses a finger to Ed's lips and tells him to wait. Ed's okay with that, though, because Steed stands up to unbutton his jeans. Ed watches appreciatively from the couch as Steed first steps out of his jeans and then his silky lavender boxers and kicks both garments aside. He's so beautiful, naked in Ed's living room, that Ed could almost come like this with his shirt rucked up and his nipples cold and hard and his cock straining damp and criminally untouched inside his pants. When Steed grabs his hand and pulls him upright, Steed helps Ed out of his shirt, then steps behind him. Ed sighs in delight as Steed wraps strong arms around him, one hand returning to a nipple and the other sliding inside the front of Ed's pants, and finally wrapping around Ed's throbbing dick. But he doesn't stop there. Steed kisses Ed's shoulder and upper back, pausing only to move Ed's hair out of the way. Ed's never been kissed there before, not once, and it's almost more intimate than the absolutely magical thing Steed is doing with his fingers. As if he's reading Ed's mind, Steed swipes his thumb over the tip of Ed's cock and smears the slickness there over his head. Ed squirms in his arms, and Steed murmurs, "You like that, do you? You like my hand on your cock? Look at you, dripping wet for me. So fucking sexy, you have no idea." Something fizzes incandescently in Ed's mind. The mix of romantic soft touches with the hint of filth in Steed's words absolutely does it for Ed, and he would do anything to keep Steed talking to him like that. He's aware of Steed's erection pressing against his ass with only Ed's clothing between them, and he slides an arm behind himself in search of the source of that delightful pressure that has him thinking some decidedly filthy thoughts. He brushes his fingers against Steed's cock and is rewarded with a low moan. "Looks like I'm not the only one who's wet," Ed breathes, arching his neck so that he's leaning back as completely against Steed as he can while still getting a good grip on Steed's dick. Steed sucks in a breath. "God, Ed, I need you out of these pants." Ed drops Steed's cock and scrabbles at the waistband of his pants, delighting in the way Steed doesn't stop what he's doing with his hands even if Ed shimmies himself out of his remaining clothing. "Fucking hell," Steed mutters, pressing himself back against Ed's ass and moaning into Ed's shoulder blades. Ed can feel a sticky streak on his skin where Steed bumps into him, and it fucking feels incredible being wrapped up in Steed like this. And Ed can't help but think about if this feels this nice. He can't quite imagine what it might be like to have Steed inside him. "I have condoms and lube in the nightstand by my bed," he suggests, hoping he doesn't sound like he's begging. He's willing to beg, if he has to, or if he thinks Steed would be into that. Ed might be into that. "Good," Steed replies. "I think we're going to need them." "Yeah? Yeah." They make their way into Ed's bedroom, pleasuring each other the best they can while also moving. Steed keeps his hands roaming all over Ed's body as Ed procures the bottle of lube and a couple of condoms from his drawer. He moves toward the bed, but Steed stops him. "Could we, in the bathroom? I want to see us in the mirror," he says, almost shyly.
"Fuck if Ed's gonna deny him."
"Yeah," he kisses Steed. "Tell me what else you want." He takes Steed's hand and guides him into the bathroom, then leans back against the counter. "I want," he gulps, "to be inside you, if you'd like that." Ed hands him a condom and leans up to kiss him.
"Fuck yes, I would like that. And if you keep talking dirty while you fuck me senseless, I'll like it even more."
Steed blushes and tears open the package, hissing a little as he rolls the condom onto himself. Ed kisses Steed and pulls him close, letting his naked dick brush against Steed's condom-clad erection as he presses the bottle into Steed's hand. It's fucking electric. Ed needs more. Steed kisses him, filthy, then turns him to face the mirror. Ed braces his hands against the counter and looks at their reflection. Steed nuzzles sweetly into Ed's shoulders again and murmurs, "Look at your gorgeous cock, Ed. Look at it, because I'm not going to touch it, and neither are you until I tell you. Can you do that for me? Just look?" Ed's knees buckle at that. "Fuck. Fucking hell, Steed. Yeah, I can do that. Such a good boy, Ed." Tell me if anything I say or do is too much, yeah? "Yeah," Ed breathes. "I will. Just keep going." Steed grins at him in the mirror. Ed can't see his hands, but he hears the click of the lube bottle cap, and he hisses at the sudden sensation of slick pressure against his ass. Steed runs a finger along the most sensitive parts of Ed's body, and Ed quivers a little in anticipation. "That's it, Ed," Steed breathes. "You like that? Look at your cock. All wet again. Wet from my fingers inside you? For my cock?" Ed nods in affirmative because words aren't working. Steed moves his finger slowly, too slowly, and Ed wants, he needs patience. "Love." Steed presses more kisses into Ed's shoulders as he gently massages the spot that Ed wants him to ravage. "Can you be patient for me? With your cock dripping for me like this?" Ed's eyes flick involuntarily to that part of his reflection. Surely enough, his dick is literally weeping. A thin strand of fluid connects him to the counter, where he must have bumped up against it. He's never felt this wet before with anyone. He's so hard, he is going to die. Steed presses a slick finger inside of him. "Good boy, Ed. Look at you, fucking gorgeous like this on my finger." Ed groans, surprising himself with the lewdness of his own sound at the praise. "Oh, just like that, Ed. So wrecked already. God, you're perfect." Ed angles his ass so that Steed will hurry up already, but Steed keeps a steady pace with his finger, massaging and opening Ed up and murmuring encouragement into his shoulders. Just when Ed thinks Steed's intentionally dragging things out too long, a second finger slides into him. He moans at the pressure, and his cock twitches, and he can see himself quivering in his reflection. Steed snakes his free hand around Ed to caress a nipple, and Ed needs friction against his dick, and Steed isn't touching him there, the audacity. He's about to say something when Steed hums, "Good boy, Ed. You ready to take a little more? Ready for three?" And good fucking God, Ed is ready. He bites his lip to keep from crying out as he nods frantically. Steed presses more compliments into Ed's shoulder blades, and Ed sucks in a breath as he takes a third finger. It's so much, and it's so good, and he wants more, more, more. His hand twitches towards his dick, and Steed admonishes him, "Not yet, Ed." Somehow seeing his own cock like this in the mirror, and Steed's fingers twirling at his nipple more than doubles the intensity of everything he's feeling. He's so hard, he's still dripping, and he wants to touch, to relieve the pressure, and Steed won't. Steed carefully withdraws his fingers, leaving Ed bereft. "Are you ready for my cock, Ed?" Ed nods, acutely aware from his reflection that he's a quivering, dripping mess. "Use your words, Ed." Ed lets out an explosive sigh. "I want your cock in me, Steed. I want you to fuck me as hard as you can, and to do it right now." "Oh, that's good, Ed. Look at you, so ready for me to fuck you." But he doesn't move. Ed grits his teeth. "Are you going to make me beg? Are you going to beg?" Ed nearly sobs. He needs to be fucked, and he needs it now. Please, Steed, I need you so bad. I need you to rail me into this countertop. Fuck me into oblivion, Steed. Use me however you want. I am begging you. That's it. That's good, Ed. So good. And finally, fucking finally, Steed presses slowly into Ed, hot and slick and perfect, and Ed groans at how full he feels with Steed's perfect fucking cock inside of him. And then Steed moves. There aren't words for the sensation Ed feels. Every nerve lights up and he loses himself in the way Steed moves, the way he fucks into Ed, the way it's all so fucking perfect. Steed is murmuring praise into his skin and Ed fucking loves it. Look at you, Ed. Oh, so gorgeous, taking me like this. Such a slut for my cock, aren't you? God, Ed braces his arm harder against the counter, and his cock is still dripping, and Steed is fucking him exactly the way he needs to be fucked, and it's so much, it's too much, and in a strangled whisper, Steed commands, touch yourself, Ed. Tears leak from his eyes as he wraps a hand around his own dick, and Steed groans. He's speeding up and breathing harder, and Ed watches them both in the mirror as Steed pulses inside him and everything crescendos around him as Steed cries out and Ed comes in thick, hot ropes over his bathroom cabinets. Steed hugs him tight, then eases himself carefully out of Ed, whose knees would like a word with management, thank you very much. Oh, he's gonna pay for this tomorrow. Totally worth it, though. Ed sighs and leans against an unspattered section of the counter as Steed disposes of the now very full condom, then steps over to kiss Ed soulfully. Was that okay for you? He asks softly. In answer, Ed looks pointedly at his cabinets. Oh, breathes Steed. I'll, take that as a yes. Let me help you clean that up. Mess is tidied up, Ed tugs Steed into the bedroom, and they collapse onto his bed. Steed snuggles close to Ed, who wraps his arms around him and pulls him close. Steed kisses him and sighs contentedly. Ed nuzzles into him. I take it this isn't how your sessions usually go?
Very much not, Steed murmurs. I have a small confession to make.
Oh? Ed asks, running his fingers through Steed's hair.
Experienced a similar lack of professional decorum in our first session.
Ed props himself up on one elbow and looks quizzically at Steed.
But, of course, you were asleep, and so, of course, you didn't seem to notice, and I thought it would just be a one-time thing, you know, and then today you were so gorgeous, and I'm sorry, but also not sorry, because you are magnificent.
Ed's definitely not sorry, and he shows Steed this with a gentle kiss. Yeah, I definitely don't think I can be a client, but can I take you out for dinner?
Steed lights up. I'd be delighted, he says, and curls into Ed's arms.
As Ed drifts to sleep, he thinks to himself that he's really fucking glad he snagged that business card for the cuttlefish cuddle therapy, even if the therapy ended up being somewhat less than professional. The cuddles really were exquisite. The sex, even more so.
He smiles. He's keeping Steed forever.
Feeling more relaxed than ever, he falls easily into blissful sleep in Steed's arms. End of fic.
Thank you so much for listening to the thoroughly and entirely improper cuddling of Edward Teach by QueenBee42. Please go leave them all of the love in the archive or on Twitter. And if you are so inclined, you're more than welcome to leave me love as well. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
And that was the thoroughly and entirely improper cuddling of Edward Teach by QueenBee42, read by Loopy Danger Frog. Head over to the links in the show notes that will take you to AO3, where you can give them a kudos and a comment. And if you'd like to have a narration of a fic published on this podcast, just record yourself reading between 30 and 60 minutes and send it to me at rflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. But really important, you must get the author's permission first. Make sure they are okay with it. And then you're good to go. Send it in. And please do help show the world that Our Flag Means Death still has a lively fandom by giving the Our Flag Means Fanfiction podcast a 5-star rating. And follow us on Instagram at Our Flag Means Fanfiction, all one word.